I think at this point we'll open it to anyone who would like to come up here and either share a song or share a reading or a Bible verse or whatever it is that you feel called to say or sing.
Hello, everyone. It's so good to be here. Every week I receive an email meditation from the Church of the Savior, from Washington, D.C. And this morning I was reading it and it just felt really meaningful to me. So I was thinking that we would share that. So Don's going to read the scripture. We'll start with that, that goes along with the meditation.
This is from the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Chapter 20. Later, Jesus again was manifested to the disciples at Lake Tiberias. This is how the appearance took place. Assembled were Simon Peter, Thomas the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's children, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." "We'll join you," they replied, and they went off to get into the boat. All through the night, they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus was standing on the shore, though none of the disciples knew it was Jesus. He said to them, "Have you caught anything, friends?" "Not a thing," they answered. "Cast your net off to the starboard side," Jesus suggested, "and you'll find something." So they made a cast and caught so many fish, they couldn't haul the net in. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved cried out to Peter, "It's the teacher." Upon hearing this, Simon Peter threw on his cloak, he was naked, and he jumped into the water. Meanwhile, the other disciples brought the boat to shore, towing the net full of fish. They were not far from land, no more than 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw that a charcoal fire had been prepared, with fish and some bread already being grilled. "Bring some of the fish you just caught," Jesus told them. Simon Peter went aboard and hauled ashore the net, which was loaded with huge fish, 153 of them. In spite of the great number, the net was not torn. "Come and eat your meal," Jesus told them. None of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Savior. Jesus came over, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This marked the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after being raised from the dead.
The meditation this morning was called Invitation, and it's around the resurrection and the meaning of resurrection for us today. We are a resurrection people, and Alleluia is our song. Are you singing? How in your waking day do you greet the day? How are you a bearer of God's amazing grace throughout the day? And how do you end the day well? What might it mean to live as if each breath, each choice we make, and every encounter is infused with the Spirit? How would you go about washing the dishes, making our to-do lists, tending our homes and our communities? How might we interact with our children, our work colleagues, or the grocery store attendant? As we consciously put on the mind of Christ and open our hearts to God's presence and love, what might we notice? If we saw creation as a living word of God and our bodies as temples of the Spirit, how might we treat them? Are we extending to others what we are receiving of God's goodness and generosity? In this Sunday's gospel, the resurrected Jesus appears to his disciples for a third time. Resurrection is revealed in the simplest of everyday actions, going fishing, eating breakfast, being with each other in grief and gathering with joy. Resurrection is seeing beyond the surface of things. It is remembering when our eyes were opened and our deepest hurt healed by God's love, and sharing the blessing. The Paschal mystery of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection invites us to renewed being and life. God's calling on our lives and our response is an ongoing process. Christ's presence is never far, offering communion, forgiveness, and encouragement. We can never grasp the fullness of God's love and mercy. We can only live in awe and gratitude and boldness of faith.
One of the songs that came to be very meaningful to me in the past several months was one that Laurie shared with me one day. And it came at a very good time when I really needed it. And I listened to the song and I just sobbed. I just couldn't stop sobbing. I gave this, it's a video. It's a video by a Mennonite, singers from a Mennonite church. And it's the title of the song is We Are Not Alone by Pepper Choplin. Not sure how you pronounce his last name. You may be familiar with this song, but I thank Laurie from the bottom of my heart for introducing me to it. I've listened to it many times when I'm feeling lost, alone, in despair, and this song just lifts me up. So if we'll play that now, thank you.
I'm touched by how often it seems that God and the angels, Jesus in this case, remember our physical bodies. Just reading the Bible, I've never made a study of it, but I think it would be an interesting study to see how often people are told to eat something. Here is Jesus now. Those men have been out there all night fishing, and he's there making breakfast, and he tells them to come and eat, and even to bring some of their fish for him to cook in addition to what he got somewhere. And so remembering our physical bodies and the way we need a pickup after we're tired and all that, it's just precious to me.
That I just should know that I'd like to share. I spent all that time with my parents, and the thing that calms my mom down is listening to music. And there is a YouTube channel of two people that sing, and they often have their children singing with them. It's called Sounds Like Rain, R-E-I-G-N. And my mom listens to that over and over and over. And this one particular one meant so much to me during that time. And it just, one of those that makes me cry, Twyla, just, anyways, I just wanted to share that with you.
Tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone, Jesus alone. Jesus alone,
Father alone will know all about him. Father alone will understand why. So cheer up my brothers living the sunshine. We'll understand.
Tell Jesus, he all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot. sins alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me.
Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up my sisters and walk in the Spirit. We'll understand.
I don't mean to dominate this, guys. I'm going to follow up what I'm going to say with a request for Blue Book number 572. Don't worry, I won't lead. I don't know this song. I don't know if you all know it. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire. But I like the words. And if we don't know it, maybe I can just read it after. So I have a book of poems by Mary Oliver, her book, Devotions. I see some people smiling and shaking their heads. And there are several poems in here that have special meaning to me. And some of you know that I struggle for what prayer means to me. And I honestly feel inadequate to lead prayer here. I do it, but I feel inadequate. Just saying. And this poem speaks to me because it reminds me that prayer isn't. It isn't one thing, and it isn't a prescribed way, and it doesn't have to be elaborate, etc. So the title of this poem is Praying, and it's in her section of the book, a small book called Thirst from 2006. And I think I'll read it twice because for me, when I read a poem once, I get some of it, but reading it again helps me to get it. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention, then patch a few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. So I'm going to read it again. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention, then patch a few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. Is 572 a song that we know? No. Okay. I don't want to put anybody on the spot, so I'll read some of the text from this then. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, unuttered or expressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glancing of an eye, when none but God is near. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try. Prayer is the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air, the watchword at the gates of death while entering heaven with prayer. O Christ, by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer that you have trod, Lord, teach us how to pray.
So one of the things that we don't have often here, but I think I learned the most from is children's time. And I had a couple encounters this week with my students that just made me reflect on how God's close to the children, and I thought I would share those stories with you. So this is our children's time. So I've at this point of the year, we're wrapping up our new content and starting to review for SOL testing, which is standardized state testing. And in preparation for that, instead of having my own class all day, I've gotten to have a group from the other classes come in for reading class. And that's been fun because I've gotten to know some of the other fourth graders a little bit better than just in passing. And so this leads to new conversations and different students coming up to you at recess and just telling little stories. So this week I had a student that I'm not as familiar with come up and tell me that she was going to have her first Holy Communion this weekend. And she was so proud and so excited. And for those of you who might not be familiar with that, in the Catholic tradition, around this age, students have their first communion, and it's a big celebration and it's a big deal. So between that, and then I had another student come up to me and say, "Miss Butler, I'm getting baptized next weekend." It just reminded me that God is close to our children, even though sometimes it may be easy to assume that they don't understand. I think there is this really basic fundamental understanding, and they're very close to God, and Jesus walks with our students, with the children. So that was exciting. For the one student who's getting baptized this weekend or next weekend, she is my student. So this sort of started a couple weekends ago, and it's just been a trickling conversation. Being in public school, I don't often or ever bring up my faith. It's in the way I interact with people that I have to show that kindness and love. But a couple weekends ago, she said, "Miss Butler, I'm singing in my choir at church. You can call in and listen." And I've not figured out how to do that yet, but she was really excited to share that. And then this week she shared that she was getting baptized and she was excited to share that. And there's a fine balance in our morning routine where I have to be pretty consistent with them, making sure they get to their seat and are quiet and eating their breakfast and doing their little morning activities. But I just had this like feeling of sometimes they like to come up to your teacher desk area and just kind of loiter. And sometimes that's just to tell you whatever's going on in their life, or they might just be avoiding their work. But I just had this sense of like, just let it happen. Like, it's okay. They're kids. They just want to have a little bit of freedom to come up and be present with you. And so she came up and she said, "Miss Butler, I sinned." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And she said, "I lied to my mama. I told her that I forgot my key inside, but really I closed that door and locked it because I wanted to play outside with my friends." And I said, "Yeah, sometimes it's challenging. We want to go and do what we want to." And she's like, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, honestly, even though it's hard, it's just best to tell the truth in these situations. She said, yeah, my mom said, I won't get in trouble. And so I told her, and I said, okay. And she said, but I'm afraid God's not going to forgive me. And I said, well, all you have to do is ask. That's all you have to do is ask. And she goes, okay, well, I did that. She's like, but I'm still not sure. And I said, that's just the way it works. You just ask. So these little moments just tickled me. And I thought that it's something that you guys would like to hear. The last story is a little less aligned maybe with church, but it is funny nonetheless. Sometime this week, and I don't even remember what day, one of the students raised their hand during a very quiet time in our classroom. They should be like focused on their reading intervention. And he goes, Miss Beller, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I said, I don't know. And so all the students started chiming in because obviously this was of a lot of interest to them in the fourth grade. And when everybody had kind of a different answer, they said, of course, the egg or the chicken. And then someone said, well, God made the chicken. And I said, okay. And I'm just sitting and listening. And then someone said, well, who made God? And one of my little students, who's like the spunkiest little girl I've ever met, said, well, of course, mom or God's mother did. And I said, oh, okay. I've never heard that before, but it was just so funny how with such confidence she said, well, of course God's mother did. And then one of the students challenged her and said, well, who made God's mother? So even though maybe some of these are not really them thinking about God sincerely, I just thought they were cute little anecdotes that show that even in public school, which sometimes gets a bad rap, Jesus is close to the children.
So 487 in the blue, if you didn't hear, but
teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. In thy commandments make me walk, for in thy law my joy shall be. Give me a heart that loves thy will from discontent and envy free. Turn thou my eyes from vanity and cause me in thy ways to tread.
Number 521 in the blue.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some by thy
don't want to cut off. I think Snooki has. Yeah. Okay. Great. I was going to wrap up this part of it, but if Snooki has another. Oh, good idea. Anyone on Zoom have something they'd like to say or sing? I will say for such a small group, we sound pretty good.
One day at a time,
sweet Jesus,
that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. I'm only human, I am a woman. Help me believe what I can be in all that I am. Oh, show me the stairway that I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow may never be mine. Help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Oh, do you remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, that it's worse now than then. So much pushing and shoving, and it's crowding my mind. So, Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time.
This song has meant a lot to me because it has pulled me through the days, the last, I'm going to say, year. I didn't think that this would ever happen to us, Ted, with these five strokes. And if you know Ted, he's a stubborn man. And then me falling. And had to have someone help me drive us to our doctors and appointments and to the grocery store and things like that. But I'm thankful for my family, because even my grandchildren took us to the grocery store and helped us with the groceries. But I listened to this song one day at a time, probably every night, and it's sung by a group that Milton Shank sang with. And I, upstairs, when I'm laying in bed, whenever they say, take one day at a time, sweet Jesus, because tomorrow may never be, it gives me a hope for, to think of how good God is and to be thankful for each day, even the little teeny things that show up that you would normally see. I see those now. Through going through what we've gone through, you see those little things that you skipped over when you're going about your everyday duties and trusting in the Lord.
Thank you, everyone. We didn't have a sermon, so there was no sermon response, but maybe are there any responses to what we did have today? I'll just give a little bit of time for that before we move on. Let's see. Sorry, guys. I'm sort of trying to figure out where we are. Oh, Twyla, go ahead.
Just want to say to Mackenzie and to other, Mary Dawn's not here, but teachers in general, but particularly teachers in public school. God bless you. The Lord is with you. You are ambassadors there where you are.
Since we've been singing, I don't know. Let's just, in the interest of time, let's just go move ahead into the sharing of blessings and concerns. We would normally have the hymn of response, but I think we'll just move into this.